You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Piper Corp, and this is The Ecologist Goes to Washington, a podcast program from the Ecological Society of America, where I interview ecological scientists involved in policy. Today, I'm speaking with Colin Pfeiffer, one of this year's three Graduate Student Policy Award winners. So, Colin, you flew in from Hawaii, where you've done a lot through your master's program to prepare for a career dealing with public policy. Did your visit to Capitol Hill and the meetings you had match your expectations?
I think it did. It was quite a surprise. It was my first time coming to Washington, D.C., and really my first exposure moving from a community organizing and environmental outreach, which has been my previous experience, to kind of working on this level of policy and engagement, which, you know, working directly with government representatives. So it was a real surprise in many respects. It was a really enriching learning experience. I think particularly coming from a rural university, obviously we're far away from the rest of the country. So it was a great opportunity in that sense. I was really excited for it. And D.C. doesn't disappoint. All these things I've seen on television and movies. And nonetheless, it's still very moving and stirring. It gives you a sense of place and history. So I was very impressed with that. It surprised me that I would have that reaction. I always think I'm above these things.
Now, you do quite a bit of work in environmental education, and one of the things that stood out to me in the essay you wrote, you said that telling stories is an apt description for science, and that finding connections with the audience where listeners are part of the story leads them to a place of understanding. So in working with the public, which can include really the full range of demographics, right? You work with all sorts of different ages and whatnot. What kind of stories do you tell?
You know, I think when I say stories are an apt description for science, I think because the stories are already existing there, and we just have to find a narrative where the listener, the participants, the students we work with, regardless of age, can visualize and understand that they're part of that story, that it's an ongoing process. And here in Hawaii, one of the expressions that we always use is we talk story. And talk story means you're getting to know one another. You're stopping to interact and to listen and to really just share something of yourself with someone else. And so when I work with children and adults, not just here in Hawaii, but other places, one of the things that I really try to get across is a sense of place. I think one of the side effects of the environmental movement or its history is that people have the sense that the environment is something out there. It's not where they are here. Because of that, I think people just don't necessarily understand the investment or the need for conservation, for care, for stewardship, where they live in their own home community. So I really try to find something that connects with them directly, personally, and then weave them into that. The work I do here in Hawaii has been very successful in making place-based, biologically and culturally relevant environmental curriculum that then we work with kids now really from K through 8th grade, and we're looking at moving into the high schools. Often the national science curriculum, the textbooks, you know, they include an example of a beaver or something like that, something that where the kids have no connection with here in Hawaii. And so we've had to move to creating something that would have more local relevance and find that story, find those characters, and make sure the students understand that they're part of that.
So when you came to D.C. then, it's sort of like the opposite, where people at least temporarily are completely in a different spatial environment altogether, so far from Hawaiian interests and whatnot. How did you sort of shape a story then to weave them into it?
I'd say across the board, everyone was very interested and excited about science and wanted to see it continue to be supported at different levels, I'm sure, of course, and maybe in their district and not someone else's district, but generally everyone was very interested in the science. And when you're, you know, engaging now with staffers and congressmen and women, the story does change. But again, making the congressional member understand what's their role. And here I feel like they can, in fact, be the storyteller in many respects. They can help create these opportunities for other students, for other people in their district to learn and benefit from science. And so I did my best to impress upon them the success we've had here in Hawaii because of the National Science Foundation's investment, and then to ask, of course, for the continued investment because that is a really enriching experience and makes possible so many opportunities that otherwise we just won't have. I don't know if I was
one of the
successful, but
I was just going to ask, because they always say that, you know, science is one of those things that everyone supports. Like you even talked about that, how both the Bush and the Obama presidencies have been really pushing for continued investment. but that it's something that a lot of people don't go to bat for. So did you find that people seemed really excited about it, or just kind of acknowledging it, but also the other funding needs and whatnot?
Yeah, I think everyone kind of began a conversation, something to the extent with, in this budget cycle, in this economy, that was, you know, a constant theme. I think we have the upper hand in the sense that, broadly speaking, I would argue that federal investment in science and agriculture, because we were there on behalf of CoFarm as well, provides tangible results to the nation more so than, I mean, I wouldn't say more so, but compared to other types of federal investment where I think the public benefit might maybe less or maybe not as direct. But I think everyone was generally, again, it's hard to say, again, this is my first time, and you know, you understand that those young staffers probably took about 20 meetings earlier that day with someone else, right? So it's hard to get a sense of priority. I felt like the Hawaii delegation was pretty much on it and got the message and understood it. And I want to say they're going to, you know, have a respect for and see the need. And I think clearly that was with the National Science Foundation. People saw that, but specifically with the AFI, the Agriculture Food Research Initiative, that has some very, when we talk about stories or ways to intersect, that had some very particular, you know, ways that Hawaii, I think, could really benefit from some of that research initiatives. So I think people seem to kind of get that. It, to me, it's always a question of, we're going to spend the money, and just where does it go, right? You know, for agriculture, I think, for science, I think Hawaii can and should be a leader in that. And I think our delegation, I think they were picking up what I was putting down.
So one thing I was interested, just in the last email you sent, where you said that you'd gotten a lot of flack for your science as stories approach. Curious how, I mean, it made a lot of sense to us here, so.
You know, I say people tease me about it because I'm not the traditional scientist. I think I've had to take a longer path to it by many means. I started off as a creative writing major for about 2 years before I got my senses. And then became involved generally through an environmental and then kind of a biology background and graduated with a degree in environmental biology and then pursuing now a degree in conservation biology. Mm-hmm. But I still think I have this creative need to explore and to explain and to find words that connect. And stories, I think, are one of the ways I have found a strong way to do that. You have to find a narrative. And I think that's lacking overall in science because I think many people have, or you know, they're wired differently and they're very strong linear thinker. And I'm not. I've trained myself to think that way to some extent, but I still make more intuitive, circular storytelling. To me, it's like the way an artist, when they're sketching a still life, they kind of sketch out the outline and then they come back and they darken and they readjust and they fill in. But it's this organic process. And for me, that's the way I approach science as well. But I think most people approach science as though it's a mathematical formula, beginning and end. And so when I say the science and stories, and some people tease me about that, it's just maybe just a different culture. I think it's all good natured.
But these are mostly scientists then who are, it seems like the public that would be something that would be very receptive to, right? And that could be definitely one of the ways.
Yeah, I think so. I think publicly speaking, I think there's a real interest and need and hunger for science told in compelling ways. Mm-hmm. I look at, you know, the National Geographic Society, right? Translated in 100 languages, I'd imagine, and there's a real interest in that magazine because of the way it presents interesting research initiatives broadly across the field, but they try to find the human approach to it.
That was Colin Pfeiffer from the University of Hawaii. Thanks so much for listening, and please join us again next time on The Ecologist Goes to Washington.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Catelli. For a link to Dr. Catelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.